Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Joe DeFalco. Well, Joe, I guess this is the down week after this is the week you took off. You got to rest. You got to shave, go out for a nice dinner, right?
I did shave, but didn't go out for a nice dinner. I ended up, ordering in. But we cooked a lot, wife's on vacation. But I figured, I'm not going to take everything away from the Super Bowl coming up or the big game, as it's called, and run an FSW show. So we decided to take the week off. We got the Valentine's Day Massacre happening next week on the 13th. We got some matches set we're excited about, and initially that was going to be the week for No Escape, so now we have a little more time to build up some of the storylines,
right? Let's quickly talk a little bit about Future Shock and storylines going forward. What's going on with Sky High?
Well, Sky High, they've been, people could say, hey, they've been together for 8 years. No, they've been together for like 28 years. So, and they've had their ups, they've had their downs, but, they've done what they had hoped to do. They've become tag team champions all over, the Southwest. And, obviously, if AEW comes calling again, they're going to show up for that. But right now, they feel that it's time, because there's only so much you can do, and the fire can only burn so much after you've accomplished things. Usually, the hardest thing to do is, if you look in boxing, if you look in people who sign contracts, once you get that big contract, all of a sudden, maybe the hustle isn't there. You get to a certain point, and there's a lot of hungry young teams in FSW and all over. And you've seen that Sky High maybe lose to teams that, they got beat by the Asylum two times in a row. Right. You can blame whatever you want. But these guys are hungry. Marcus Anderson, done stuff years ago, and basically you would see him around the school here and there, but now he's taking it serious again, and now he sees something that he wants to reach for. And then you got, besides Phil, you got the Jester, who's a young kid who, you joke about, because the Jester, came to FSW, and he's still a little chubby young kid. And, you're thinking, hey, here's a good shot maybe to bring in a referee. And we made him a referee, and he became a pretty good referee. And he's always there to help, and he's always around. And then all of a sudden you hear the Codys and the Remys, and they're like, hey, man, don't be sleeping on Dustin. He's looking pretty good. And I'm like, that dude? And it's like, you can't judge the book by the cover. I always talk about that with Spider and having Asperger's, and oh, he's never going to make it. And all of a sudden I see this big Jack bodybuilder guy. Oh, that's my next champ. He trained at Rikishi's. He comes to Vegas, and 3 weeks later, the guy was done because he didn't want to put in the work or wasn't a hard worker, And you can't overlook, as I always say, passion and heart is what drives this business. So there's going to be people that you can't believe that have progressed. Kevin Cross could walk in and you're like, oh shit. But I've seen 20 Kevin Crosses walk in, and 19 of them have failed miserably.
Sure.
So, and that's why it's like, I never doubt that somebody can do something until we see that they can't do it. Oh, you're going to let him train? Yeah, I'm going to let anybody who's physically as capable as they believe, because, you know, people have had, you know, issues. You know, yeah, we've seen a guy in the ring who made it to WWE with one leg.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So we're going to say, oh, he can't wrestle. You know, there's a guy who works for Ben over at the midget show downtown. He has no legs.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So always give somebody an opportunity. And then when the discussion needs to be had, and again, usually I've seen, you know, the most able-bodied people fail. So it's no shame in not being able to do it, but at least you gave yourself the opportunity to try it, and, you know, maybe it wasn't for you. You know, Spider decided, hey, you know what? Eh, maybe wrestling, I did okay, and now he's on the production side, and, you know, he's become a valuable part of our production crew.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you don't know, you know, where the future is going to lead you. At the same time, his tag partner is still wrestling for you, you know, nearly a decade later.
Yeah, I just saw it was his 30th birthday. It's like, damn, yeah. You know, he was just this little teenage punk kid when I met him. You know what I mean? Now he's just an adult punk kid, punk guy, you know?
Absolutely. Anything else stick out to you at Future Shock?
You know, Jaden Cole and Ricky Tenacious, and you know, Ricky is definitely a valuable cog in there. He's always great working with younger guys, and despite his win-loss record, you know, similar to Brandon G, man, it's like, here's a guy who he's happy to be there, and he puts in the work. And in most cases, until recently, because you know what? On Future Shock, he's one of the MVPs of that show. A guy who's got a little more experience than a lot of others, usually put in a position to make the other guy look good. And, you know, so whether now I can count on them, it's like, hey, Ricky was like, hey, you know, love to wrestle Jaden Cole. It's like, you know what? Done. You know, because that's what Future Shock's about. You know, Watson hit me up. It was a little late. I'm like, dude, I got a 5-man scramble that became a 4-way. But it was like, you know, to make it a 6-way, I'm going to pass on that one. Because he's always trying to get extra work in when he can. You know, he's involved in, you know, major storylines, you know. And I always say he's what Sharp was a few years back, to where Greg would always be the guy that I would give the Jaden Coles of the world, the Colin Muldoons, you know. Sugar Brown was back, you know, and he got that opportunity to be the vet who's been, you know, working hard Fridays with Remy, training the young crew. And he's got, you know, some kids he's working with. So with the excitement that we have going on at the HyperX Arena and starting in March, probably, you know, going to be doing shows every month there, Future Shock might be just the only show going on at the arena for a little while.
Right.
You know, unless we run into some difficulty and issues, but guys are standing out and Future Shock's really becoming our NXT. You know, Davion and Rainey had their third match, and it's going to trickle over a little bit, because with the Valentine's Day coming up, you know, the love of Davion and Dana Lynn took a hit when, seemingly, and I believe, you know, Davion went to lay out Adrian Rain and ended up smashing his girlfriend. So,
yeah. Right. Which is, you know, always probably not a great thing right before, you know, Valentine's Day and all the romance.
You know, usually it's not something I'm looking to, but Davion requested a few minutes. To speak. So he's going to be speaking at some Valentine's Day massacre. I guess Dana Lynn might not be taking those calls. I don't know. Young Love, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, there you go. You get another tag team name there.
There you have it. You have Young That's Money versus Young Love.
Right. It's actually a good name for a mixed tag. Young Love. Love it. All right. So you said a little bit about it. Valentine's Day Massacre is coming up on Friday, the 13th at 7 p.m. That's next week, Friday, a week from today. The big announcement was this one. Sanlu versus Jordan Oasis. No Limits Championship is at stake.
Yeah, and we didn't mention that besides being the day before Valentine, it is Friday the 13th.
That's true.
So you never know what's going to happen. Bryce Saturn, him and Jaden Cole. Jaden Cole, you know, he's had a couple of big matches with top FSW guys, but that was, you know, when he was one and two matches in. Now he's gotten a little more experience. Now he's gotten on a roll. He wrestled and won a match at the HyperX Arena for New Year's Resolution. Both of these men were in the scramble match. And this is a big match for both. If Jaden Cole beats a Bryce Saturn, wow, you know, that puts him in line. And if Bryce Saturn wins, that solidifies his role as a guy that, you know, can wrestle for the No Limits, the heavyweight, and the Nevada State Championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting to see what comes of that. And this is an interesting thing here, too, with the faction and Pretty City Express kind of having some unresolved business for a six-way here. This should be fairly interesting. So, I mean, what is the resolve? Are we looking at something? Because, I mean, obviously Ice was pinned, but Ice doesn't seem to be in this match. So what is the retribution that the faction is looking for when the guy who got pinned isn't even in the match?
To be honest with you, I'm not too sure. It seems like, you know, the faction has some friction still, and I'm going to assume that Fresco and Watson were the ones who said, we don't want Braxton or Ice as our partner in this match. We want to prove to you that Demir is worthy. You know, inadvertently, Demir cost him the match, but if you look at the tape, it really wasn't Demir's fault. He was trying to help, but they use those numbers against him. And, you know, now that I see Damon Ace, well, he's a mainstay at Phoenix Championship Wrestling, PCW, and I assume that's where the relationship with Class and Reno has blossomed. And, you know, Young Money, you know, initially is always seen as the underlings, lackeys, as you may call it, to Class and Reno, especially Jaden Monroe. And RJ was kind of the guy, and he, you know, they're both young. They're Young Money. So, you know, but they've been very impressive, and it seems like that Arizona connection is in full force. And for whatever reason, they have their sights set on the faction. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Braxton and Ice Williams lurking somewhere that day. So, but from what I understand, Young Money will also be on hand. You know, we're putting together the show, the FSW Women's Champ, who missed the New Year's Resolution show, Brittany Brooks, she'll be on hand. We're trying to look for some fresh matchups. So we're looking, you know, maybe outside the normal FSW crew, you know, Black Swan, she's gotten back in the ring. She's training, but she's not ready yet. And, you know, you got Fallen and you got Taylor York and Layla's hurt and Gypsy's still out. And, you know, we saw a big blow off match with Maz and Brittany. So we're looking for some, you know, fresh competition for Brittany Brooks. The We've already announced that the Mariachis and the Citos will be inside the steel cage at March 8th's No Escape, but the Mariachis will be on hand.
Yeah.
And they will be wrestling. So the question becomes, who are they wrestling on February 13th?
Yeah.
So we got a couple of matches that we are unsure of. We're still putting the card together. We're only a week away. So hopefully by this weekend, you know, while I'm busy before the Super Bowl, because I'll be watching that, of course, that, you know, we're going to finalize the card.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, you said Jordan Oasis taking on Sun Liu, Brittany Brooks will be on hand. And there we go. AEW Dynamite had a mixed tag with Jordan and Brittany as a team. Also, Maserati was backstage at AEW, but wasn't used, unfortunately. Brittany got two matches, on that night.
We thought we had Kenny's last match in Vegas for a while, but, I didn't see who he wrestled. I saw the guy had a mask, but I don't know who it was.
It might've been Hometown Hero. I think it was.
He's a TNA guy.
Oh, whatever. The same thing.
Maybe it was a different Hometown Hero.
Right. but yeah, I mean, it's great to see AEW, you know, using talent when they're in town, and good opportunity for these guys.
Yeah, I thought the Mariachis were going to be on hand, but I'm not sure. I know they were supposed to be around for the TNA stuff that was happening either in Arizona or California.
Yeah. You know, just again, big time opportunities coming up. Again, no escape. So far, you know, what is it shaping up? Obviously, it looks like Duke and G Sharp and the Suavecitos and Mariachis. Anything else taking shape right now?
As of now, no. Those are the two matches. They're going to be the two top matches on the show, both inside the steel cage. You know, we're talking numerous people. I know MK was talking about maybe Sam Adonis returning. Always a valuable guy. And
and
Sam had also reached out to me, you know, looking for a new home on the indies, you know, with WWE and AAA. I don't think Sam's been used very much, you know, since that's happened, because they're using a lot more signed WWE talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. You would think Sam might have the in with his brother doing the commentary for some of the AAA shows, but, you know, so far that hasn't manifested. So. Right. You know, Sam's got his stuff going on in Pittsburgh, but he lives in Houston, so it's a lot easier to get him out here now. And, you know, we've had Sam at least a half a dozen times, FSW, and he's definitely a great talent to have. So, and it would be a great addition for the MK Army to have him on a more permanent basis. So, you know, we got a lot going on. You know, we got everything set for, well, not everything set, but we got a lot of stuff set for Mania Week. We got three shows happening at the HyperX Arena on the Thursday. So we got three shows the 15th at FSW. Delgado Promotions, they use some CMLO guys, and they're going to be doing an earlier event on the Thursday. We're going to be doing the ID show at either 7 or 8 o'clock. And our new home, Title Match Network, they have their own company, and they'll have a big women's show featuring, you know, some of the best women wrestlers on the planet, with, you know, at 10 or 11 o'clock. You know, we're talking with Cross, trying to get a Mecca on the Friday, maybe a Natural Born Killers, Japanese women's wrestling that I got at Spark Joshi over at the Silverton last year. Negotiating to try to get a Sunday noon show at the HyperX.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. Plus, you know, Manny Lemons, Texas Wrestling Cartel, they're coming back to FSW. This year we got Relentless Pro and a company called Soar Wrestling. S-O-A-R, like Soar.
Yeah.
Not the Soar from wrestling. S-O-R-E. You know. So, you know, we got the Gabe Sapolsky Seminar. Later today, I'll be talking with WWE superstar Bayley, who got a message, not to name drop, that Rey Mysterio messaged me yesterday, or Zoe Stark, but they were inquiring because Bayley ran an event last year, seminar type thing, right, that she's looking to do Mania Week. And I guess we're trying to see if we got time frames that can match up for them doing that at FSW. Because Thursday, we had the 8 p.m. time slot. So we're moving out of that because we're doing the ID show at the HyperX. So to accommodate, we might move that 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock show to maybe, you know, 4 o'clock and 7:30. And then she'll have all day to do what she needs to do. So I'll find out later today. She's supposed to hit me up and see if we can work something out, you know. And again, you know, whether it's financial or, hey, maybe we get a Bayley appearance to come by, you know, to work something that, you know, helps out both parties.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when her contract's up, you know, and she starts collecting belts like Sasha did, you can have her become the FSW Women's Champion. Maybe that could be in the cards.
Well, you know, she would probably have to beat the person that would be the champion. But, you know, yeah, you know, she's like Shotzi. She still lives in the NorCal area, you know, right, not a far ride. But, you know, I can't believe Bayley's paycheck will be budget friendly.
Right.
You know, but again, we've learned, you know, things can happen by working together and bartering, and I can do for you and you can do for me. And, you know, we see what happens. You know, I'm always open to hear that.
Yeah. Also, looks like Chief is spending your money here. He wants a Danny Limelight versus Sam Adonis match.
Yeah, it'll be the who do we root for because we hate both of these guys match.
Right. Right.
But, you know, Danny's definitely on the radar for March 29th at the HyperX Arena. Hammerstone, you know, Graves, you know, we're looking to start piecing everything together. You know, what are we doing for Mania Week? Are we doing a Mecca? Well, you can't have a Mecca without a Hammerstone or a Limelight. So,
yeah.
And a Cross, of course.
Right. Exactly. You know, the one show that you didn't mention is the ID Showcase.
Yeah, that's the Thursday, 7 or 8 o'clock. So we'll talk with Gabe soon, start putting it together. Hopefully, like last year, we had Brittany Maz and Bodie got to work the show that weren't right. ID'd. You know, it'd be cool for Bodie to be the guy to get the match against the ID champion, you know. Sure. You know, we will have the hometown advantage. You know, if somebody can hold Gabe down, maybe we can, you know, jump Cappuccino Jones. And is he still there, champ? Is he the ID champ?
I think so. It's so hard to keep up with all this shit.
You know, because they're on Evolve. They're all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, for Bodie, it's a great opportunity if he can get that match. So,
yeah. Also, maybe Bodie can put the future Stars belt.
Title versus title. There you go. Right.
You know, how easy has it been now talking with and dealing with the HyperX, and you know, did that first show make that much of a difference in terms of you know, what now they really see that future being. You know, can the fans look at this as they helped progress this into something that is going to be a regular thing?
Well, you know, the thing is, Kyle, the guy who runs the room, the huge wrestling fan, you know, he had high hopes of what we would be able to do. We knew what we were able to do. Mark, the CEO, great dude, you know, he had no idea what to expect FSW to do. And after all was said and done, you know, his first thing was, you know, we've had a lot of people come in here and more on the gaming side and everything else that they were doing that acted like they knew what they were doing and they didn't know fucking shit. And after one show, after he saw with Mikey and Spider and our production crew did and us and setting up the ring and Rocky with the, you know, with the ring crew and me putting together the show and the talent, he was like, wow, you know, this is amazing. So he needed to see what we can do before he could commit to anything. So you tell me. So we had a drink guarantee,
yeah,
food and drink. We beat it by 400%. We did a show. We said we'd have about 250 to 300. We probably had closer to 350 to 400. Everybody was happy. They loved the room. Bartenders were attentive. Everybody was able to get their food. They were able to get their drinks. And then after the meeting, you know, I meet with Mark, the CEO, and Mikey's going there today to help work their Fortnite tournament. So not only is Mikey getting a payday outside of FSW, which aren't the biggest paydays, but this is what you yearn to do. You know, you do stuff with us and, you know, Kevin Cross gives you money to put together a video, even when he was in WWE.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mikey's job is to now learn their Super TriCaster. We have an older version that, you know, we use from Joey, but this is, Mikey said, you know, twice the size. They have 12 cameras in there. So moving forward, FSW does not have to lug their equipment and unplug their computers and the wires and have a box and bring all the shit to the HyperX. No, we're using the house equipment. Yeah. Nobody else is using the house equipment. And we need our guys to come in there who wants to learn, whether it's Mohawk Mike or it's Mikey and it's Spider and it's maybe some of the younger guys like Dustin, who's like, hey, you know, I'd like to lend a hand. And we're going to be in there over the next month or so learning everything. So all we need to do is show up with a laptop when it comes to production, because everything is going through there. Not 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 camera setup. Not that we need 12 cameras, but you know, we have access to that room. It's FSW's. When we want to do a show, they're behind us 100%. It's what can we do to help you? Hey, make sure you get us that 15-second commercial so we can play it throughout the casino, not throughout the HyperX. We're going to replace our 15-second HyperX commercial if we have to make sure your stuff is out there, because we want that reach, because we saw what you could bring. So it isn't like the Silverton where there's 800 or 1,000 people we could squeeze into there. Right. So we have, instead of having to go, we're here, we got to get to here, we're already here. Right. We only have to consistently add 100, 150 people. It's going to be the hottest seat in town. Front row, there's only 70.
Yeah.
You know, we got more than 70 regulars. You know, Chief's got to let me know. Hey, bro, you coming? You know, if you got something going on, let me know, because I want to reserve those seats for the crew like that, for the Chief. And Corinne and the Furman crew, you know, they're always getting first row first. And the other thing about this is we control the ticket sales. because we're able to keep up with it. I got to get information from the Silverton. Dude, can I know how many tickets was sold? Oh, shit. We got fire marshals coming in on the show. We got to make sure we're 6 feet apart instead of 4 feet apart. Okay, right. Can you stop selling the front row because we've reached our max? So now you're telling me I'm going to get in trouble for your room because you oversold us by 20? I can't tell somebody, hey, sorry, chief, you bought front row tickets, but you have to sit in the second row because they fucked up.
Right.
And I'm going to tell somebody who bought a ticket through the Silverton website that I have no idea who they are. Oh, by the way, you can't sit in the first row.
Right.
You know, I got to that number and I'm like, oh, shit, I don't think we can get past 70. And like I said, we're going to adjust some seating. We're going to put two rows on the stage area.
Right.
So we know that gives us an extra 24 second row seats because guess what? We sold out of first row and second row.
Right. Yeah.
Because we only had 140. At the Silverton, there's 200 first and second row.
Right. Right. And also one bartender and no food and, you know.
Right. You know, but hey, if you want to pay $4 for peanut M&Ms that you can get at Smith's for on sale for $1.19, more power to you.
Yeah. Know?
Hey, yeah. What can we do to bring more alcohol in there? Hey, what about a server? Yeah, we got two. Oh, okay. And I'm like, hey, we don't need three bartenders. Let's do two. You know, I don't want your payroll to keep getting higher.
Right.
You know,
right.
Their bartenders are union. They ain't paying them $12 an hour.
Right.
You know, I believe it's $30 an hour. See, we can get my wife a gig there for $30 an hour. Christ. You know.
Uh-oh. Now we got Chief is calling exactly the seats he wants now. So,
yeah. You know, everybody really enjoyed those seats. The only difference was, you know, you couldn't eat or drink. But we're working on seeing what we can do to make it possible. You know, I suggest stupid stuff like, hey, a little roll of carpet. Boom.
That or do they have any type of like mini tables or anything like that? You know, it's
well, they have where are you going to put a table in front of the seat that you're looking at?
No, I'm thinking like the mini, like almost like end table, little, you know, kind of like little in betweeners,
you know.
But that's another space issue because you lose, you end up, if you put
stuff because like that the 12 and 12 makes it tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we just purchased a 16-foot ring. That might be another addition to be able to put 20 more seats in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change front row. Front row was 18, you know, here's the ring. You know, so the back only had room for two rows. We were able to put about 18 or 19 there. But we were only able to put about 13 on the sides. So now you had 13 and 13 was 26. 18 is 44. And so 40, 45. So, and then the 24 put us right about 69 front row.
Right.
But now the idea is, hey, for the same price, who would want to sit in the VIP suite?
Right.
So now you got another 12 to 15. So now you're looking at 70 and 15. So now you basically have the price structure for 85 front row.
Right.
Like your boy Glenn King. He was going to sit in the front row at the stage or he was going to sit in the VIP suite. I put him in the stage. He wanted to eat and drink. He sat in the VIP suite. So the price point's the same. It's a great view. It's cool. But if you want to be a sponsor, we can, you know, we're going to throw in food and it's going to be a bigger deal. So, you know, and then there's also the side suites that are smaller, but they also overlook the tables, which overlook the ring. So, but we learned certain things like why is there a table right in front of the pillar, but on the far end, there's a wall. But there's a space of like 8 feet with no table and chairs. Well, wouldn't it have been a smart to move that table over here? And that would have been another tabletop of 4 to 6 that we could have sold as a tabletop, because that was the other thing. Along the side, great area, but everybody was standing.
Right.
Well, yeah. When you're a tabletop of 4 and I got 8 tabletops of 4 and there's two extra seats, that's 16 chairs you could put right there. Now you're sitting and you're looking, overlooking the balcony.
Right.
And now you could be sitting and watching and that instead of having to stand. Not everybody wants to stand.
Right.
So there's definitely little pockets, you know, by the back area where that pillar is. There was big couches that you could chill in, but there's areas of room where that could be the standing room only spot.
Sure. Yeah.
Where you can get a great view, little corner view of the ring, and you're only 30 feet away.
Right.
You know, most of the time, if you're in standing room only, you're all the way in the back.
Right. And as Chief says, Joe, it's called logistics, and some people don't know how to handle it.
Of course not, you know. But I'm always trying to maneuver and make it the most positive experience for everyone there. So, you know, in my head, I'm always working idea. Hey, how can we do this? What can we do here? You know?
Well, I mean, and that's the funny thing too, is that a lot of times I think that, especially if you don't know the business, if you're younger to it, if you only been around for X amount of time, have experience at other places. One of the things you don't realize is that when you have the mind for structuring and moving pieces and putting things together, what you're doing in terms of the actual booking of shows and storylines, you're essentially doing the same thing with space and trying to, you know, business model the area and what you're doing with it. I think that a lot of times that gets lost, is that, you know, a lot of these places just have one standard place. They've got, you know, 200 seats or 100 seats, and that's what they run every single time they run a show, and they run a show maybe once every month. And that's it, you know. And now you look at this and you go, man, there have been so many different venues in the last almost 20 years that you've done. There's been so much that has developed with what you can do in terms of production. If you look back and think about the swap meet versus HyperX, I mean, it's a little bit of a difference in almost 20 years, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. But you got to start somewhere. You know, I walk into a place and it's like, I remember the conversation. You know, the guy who ran the thing, you know, and it was like, hey, there was this big furniture spot in the back, like nice ceilings. They had a second story with a balcony. I'm like, I think we can maybe do something here. And he was cool, and we didn't pay him very much. I think we paid him like $300.
Shit.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this will work. You know, again, it was 150 degrees, you know, but you know, we had good people there. You know, Derek Nykerk was a WWE guy. We had the Young Bucks. We had the Cutler brothers. You know, we had a lot of SoCal guys. A little Cholo was booked. He no-showed. you know, SoCal Crazy and Chimera, who became, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
They called out like 3 days before the show.
Hey, Zeus called out on you too?
Well, yeah, because there was a tag team called Anchors Away who ran a company in San Diego. And this was the MySpace days, and that's how I communicated with a lot of guys. And I just didn't have a spot because we were doing a show on Washington and, I don't know, Bonanza, wherever the ranch, on Rancho. And we thought we would have a very, very heavy Latino influx. So I went out and booked a lot of lucha guys, you know, SoCal Crazy. And then, as I said, Another big guy, he wrestled Modest, who he did the Border Patrol gimmick with, you know, because it was, you know, it was basically ice before ice, you know what I'm saying? Right. And I'm not talking Ice Williams. And we expected there to be, we advertised in the Spanish newspaper.
Yeah.
Because we really thought we were going to get, you know, a 50-50 split. Well, there wasn't. You know, the head of security for AEW, GQ Gallo, was there. He wrestled Kenny King. You know, and we put together the Legacy's crew. You know, yep. Sugar Brown was Tommy Danger and Mike Delight and all these guys. They got to do the opener because Phil let us use his 16-foot ring with the horrible vinyl canvas. And Phil didn't charge me a dime. All he asked was to get his guys on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, Phil, one of the best dudes I know, you know. Yeah. Our guys would be like, why are you working with him? Joe DeFalco, the owner of FSW, when he would do his student shows and his private shows, I would go there with my house equipment and run the sound for him and play the entrance music for him. And it's like, why are you? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay. And Phil's people would be like, oh, you know, make him get his own ring. Blah, blah, blah. And it was like, you know what? We both love wrestling. We're trying to make things succeed. Phil had different ideas of what he wanted to do.
Sure.
I didn't want to run a school. Right. And at that time, we didn't. And Phil wanted to run a school. And then after I realized, wow, when people ask me about going to a wrestling school and I'm sending him to Phil, right. I'm making him money. Like, why shouldn't I make this money? They want to come wrestle for FSW. So that's right. How the school became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it all started the swap meet. And then we couldn't do a second show. We got about a week before I added Disco Inferno was supposed to be on it. Went to see him at Sapphire's. He was working the door, told him what was going on. And we had him set. And that was the best thing that happened because then we went to the Silver Nugget and talked to them there. Yeah. And, you know, they charged us X amount of dollars. We had to pay to be on the marquee. But we knew we had a hit. Disco worked the show. You know, Kenny might that was when we had Snuka Jr. with Superfly.
Yeah, right.
And Snuka Jr. wrestled Disco and Superfly was in the corner. And we did a signing at the Galleria Mall with Superfly and Sun. And again, we knew we had something. And then we had the Godfather at the next one. And he did the Lava Lounge with Disco, and Disco was a mainstay. Yeah. And, you know, the little company that could, and there was nobody running against us for years. So they were like, hey, Joe's not pushing me. I'm better than his guys. So people started their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, because they felt they were deserving and they were this and they were that. You know, and it was like the conversation I had with people. You know, we did an interview with Fox 5. They, you know, you talk for 20 minutes, they give you 40 seconds, you know.
Right.
You're very grateful, and I love to talk, so I'll talk for an hour if you give me 5 minutes. You know what I mean? But
right.
It is what it is. But as I said, you know, we're 17 years in. Most companies wish they last 5 years.
Yeah.
And most companies wish that the attendance they had was what we had 10 years ago. Yeah. And we're 17 years in and we're bigger today than we've ever been before.
Right.
So obviously we're doing something right. You know, we got somebody on the strip who says, hey, we want you here every month. And if I can come up with a good enough idea to run every single week there, they'll do it. It's just got to be a good enough idea. You know, whether we're doing that uncensored type show or the adult on the strip show, you know, where I'm using, you know, the ideas of the Splat Pack and having it as, hey, the environment, the cool thing to do. Hey, what do you want to do on the strip? Oh, wow, wrestling. But it's entertainment, and it needs to be billed as entertainment. And man, it's more of a variety show.
I think you just found your stable for that show, The Environment. That sounds like a very menacing faction right there.
I'm looking for, you know, I already got the MJ, so it'd be nice to get the Prince and the Michael and the George Michael guy. But we are at the Luxor, so having the Green Man Group wrestle the Splat Pack, you know, could be a big deal, you know.
And I think you could actually, you know, in all honesty, you know, something like that, if it had some kind of success to it, it's very easy to get someone like a Carrot Top in who already has a working relationship with MGM. You know, some of these
people, he's at the Luxor. Anyway. He's got to do is take the private elevator down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, who's to say, you know, there's a Carrot Top, but, you know, who's to say there's not a Squash Bottom? You know what I mean? Whatever.
If you're going to call anything Squash Bottom and you already have Golden Showers, man, you got to stop this naming shit.
Not my name. I did. It's Golden Shower, by the way. It has a totally different meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it out of the gutter there, Matt. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm not the one squash bottoming here.
I'm just trying to think of a, you know, opposite of top and a different a vegetable.
You couldn't go with cucumber?
I guess, but, you know, that was, I'm thinking beet. Squash, you know. But yeah, so the ideas are endless. Like, why on a Friday night or a Thursday night, nothing's going on at the HyperX. Hey, they're closed on Wednesdays, Tuesdays. Hey, what about a midweek show? You know, and you can get some people in. You charge whatever, 10 bucks to get in, whatever it is. It's basically a show. You know, why is it any different than Rogue or WoW and all these shows that litter house seats? Why are they littered on house seats? Because they're just trying to get people into the casino.
Right.
You know, Carrot Top. I saw him on house seats for years. Never went. Carrot Top. Kind of like Gallagher to me. Not impressed. Yeah. Went to see him and was like, holy fuck, this motherfucker's hilarious. Yeah. I was stunned how funny Carrot Top was. Yeah. You know? And it's like, his little theater, maybe it seats 500, but I'm going to say more like 300.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And they're just trying to get people in there. You know, the Colin McLeod, he opened up for Shin Lim, and I saw him. And that's like Harris. And it's all these smaller venues that they're paying these guys lots of money every single week, every single day to do something. You're not going to say that there isn't a few thousand wrestling fans that come to Vegas all the time or people that are fans of an entertainment-type variety show because – you're not going to WoW because you're seeing a juggler. You're not going to WoW because you see a dancer. You're not going to WoW because you see one of the 20 different things that they're going to perform for you. It's just a show that's entertaining. Yeah. So why not have the sideshow acts, the comedians, a band, whatever it is that can bring some people in. It's basically, it's a potpourri of things.
Yeah.
There you go. Got the name of the show, Potpourri. You know? And athleticism, you know, gymnastics. Because a lot of the wrestlers come from backgrounds that they can incorporate in there. I'm working with this guy, Jake Shannon. I guess he's kind of a big deal. Never heard of him. You know, doing a catch wrestling, scientific wrestling type event that he's putting together. But he's got Pat Miletich, a UFC Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
They do commentary. He's got Larry Zbysko. And he's, you know, he says Eric Bischoff went to one of their shows and somehow Real American Freestyle Wrestling was born.
Came off of that, sure.
You know, and if you check it out, you know, on YouTube, the guy's got 220,000, you know, followers on the YouTube channel. So he's got that niche thing. But who's to say catch rest? All these different things that you could bring to the table of events.
Right.
With the wrestling ring. We always wanted to do comedy inside the wrestling ring.
Right.
You know, Katie Forbes hit me up. Hey, we're looking to see about using the gym. Hey, well, how about in exchange, Rob does a little comedy skit at the at an event. Right. You know what I mean? It's making those connections. There's so many people that live in Vegas, you know, that might be interested in doing stuff. Who knows? You know, Ricochet's a wrestler, and he would cost a lot of money. But maybe Ricochet wants to do comedy. I don't know. Maybe, you know, like The Miz in town and Morrison being around and all this stuff. It's like there's so many opportunities to do so many wonderful things. Yep. And we have a venue that is a blank canvas that says, give me what you got. You know, working on maybe doing a podcast with Chris Bay next week as a pilot, just to test it out and see what we can do. Because, you know, it would be different. It would be more pop culture. It'd be more, you know, not talking the local wrestling of just FSW and working on, you know, kind of a busted open type format, because I'm pretty sure I can get TJP if we wanted to do a big topic about gaming. You know, we wanted to talk about nutrition and bodybuilding. Hey, Brian Cage, you know, he's showing up.
Right.
And using those guys' followers, because the main thing with the CEO is he's not looking for me to do a podcast about FSW. That's not going to reach the national audience. Right. And Joe knows I'm not going to be able to do a podcast by myself, just doing something that's going to garner them thousands and thousands of views. You know, they got Sean Porter, a former middleweight champion who's friends with Kyle. You know, the guy's got 95,000 subscribers, you know,
right.
And he has different formats to monetize his shit, but, you know, he'll get 7,000, 8,000, you know, viewers just on the YouTube. Is it huge? No, but it's 7,000, 8,000 people who every week go in there. He did an interview with Terrence Crawford. Guess what? That got 631,000 views.
Sure.
Because as you know, Sean Porter, okay, cool. But the idea is having somebody, you know, it's going through the Rolodex and hey, we got, you know, that's why 3 years ago, Chris Van Fleet could have hit me up for a free ticket to a show because he's a podcaster. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Who are you? Maybe 5 years ago.
Right.
Point being, but who was he?
Right.
All these guys that now have a million subscribers.
Yep.
They had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It's like, you know, whatever we can bring to the HyperX that's successful increases the value.
Right.
They need Joe around. Hey, Joe brings us business. You know, that's why a lot of the big time wrestlers I got good relationships with, because it wasn't me trying to undercut them in their pay and hey, Matt Hardy, can you work for this? Oh, and by the way, I'm going to get you signing it with Scott Hosey. You're going to sell a bunch of merch. I'm going to take you to dinner at Spider's dad's place. You're going to get a hotel for you and the family could come in. And now all of a sudden it was a weekend in Vegas and Matt enjoyed that.
Right.
We'll have your kid beat Disco Inferno and then TNA can steal the idea 6 months later. You know, which they did, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's always what you need to do. It's like what you try to tell your wrestlers and the students. You need to have importance. What value are you bringing to the table? That's why it's like, I saw some people, you know, booked on some shows. Hey, be careful. You don't need to be booked on 7 shows in Vegas this month. You know, Mania is a different story.
Right.
But, you know, you have your main promotion, should be us, since we're the ones training you. And you're going to work for a couple people, great, but don't work for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you can work for who you ever want to. I'm not going to not use you, but I'm not going to highlight you over someone of equal value who's putting the value in us.
Sure.
You know, had this conversation a million times. It goes both ways.
Yep.
And, yeah. You know, step up, you know. Any people hit me up. Oh, yeah, I'd love to work the ID show. Yeah, who the fuck wouldn't? You dumb fuck. I don't even know you. Like, go pay for the seminar because, number one, there's going to be 50 to 70 people at the seminar. You yeah. think that Gabe has gotten where he has by picking all these people who never went to a seminar over the people that are in town that are there?
Right.
You know? Yep. And it's like, sure, they needed a woman. Moz didn't go, but he's worked with Moz, and Moz has been around and worked extra work and things like that. So she may not have particularly did one thing per se, but she's in his Rolodex.
Yeah. Yeah. The relationship's already built.
Yep. You know, and same thing with Oasis, and same thing with Ice Williams. And, you know, same thing with Bodie, who got to do some extra work recently. The only reason Bodie you didn't see get extra work before was because he couldn't till he was 18.
Right.
The minute he turned, boom. You know, Gabe's like, send in the stuff, get your blood work done, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's all relationships. Right place, right time. Who do you know? Who can help you?
Right.
Show your value. You know, I've heard people ask, oh, Jaden Cole, how'd you get on PCW? Because Joe hit up the main people there and said, yep. I need you to get him on. Here's a guy who works hard. He's humble. He's really good. Making not a priority. He's making FSW exclusive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yep. If he's able to do that for me, I feel I can go out of my way. And there's good talent because, you know what? Remy's helped a lot of guys get booked there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, look at a lot of our younger guys who kind of gotten to a different level. You know, yeah. Dom used the Suavecitos. Dom used the Mariachis.
Yeah.
You know, he's used yep. Bodie. Yeah. He was using Bodie coming up, you know, and yeah. he's used numerous others. That's his Vegas pipeline. Go,
yeah.
Go look from anybody from Vegas who's worked a Dom show.
Right.
They yeah. work for me.
Yeah.
You Absolutely. Know, how do you get out there? You want to get out there. The best way to succeed in this business is getting to work in as many places as you can. Not in the same city. Go to Phoenix, go to Tucson, go to SoCal, go to NorCal, go to Central Cal, go yep. to Utah.
Yeah, and if you're serious about going to the WWE, the one thing you have to do is not only hit where you are, but, you know, find a way to get those flights to the East Coast, find a way to get the flights to the Midwest and to the South, because the biggest thing, and when you're saying, you know, investing in yourself essentially, is if you build your social media following and there are more people who know who you are around the country, you know, they pay attention to that stuff.
And yeah, you know, I've said that to many yeah. people, you know, following. I'm like, hey, you're not even following us. What's wrong with you? You got like, you're following 200 people and you got like 500 followers. And you're getting bookings that you're getting flown to like Shimmer and shit or whatever, well, the East Coast Stardom, whatever it is, you know. And it's like, follow the companies you work for.
Yep.
Follow the people you work with, because people look at what is your social media reach.
Yep.
We knew all the time. It was like, holy shit. When we had Viva Van as champ, like, holy crap, that fucking video got 35,000 views. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. It gets us out there. Yeah. Indirectly.
And there's also another one who wrestled at AAW this past week. So
as she signed.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was another one I forgot right there when I made a post this past week because I had the Fox 5. And it gave you a list. And it isn't everybody who trained with us. It's like FSW heavyweight champions were FSW champions before anybody knew who they were. We had Brian Cage. We had LA Knight. We have Hammerstone. We got Cross. We got Bay. We got Nevada State, Solo Sikoa. We got women's champ, Zoe Stark. I forgot, Viva Van. She was an independent wrestler. She became my champ. Thought she was really good. Had a good following. Now she is an AAW contracted wrestler.
Yep.
So add that one to the list. You know, Matt Vandergriff getting to work New Japan. Works New Japan strong on a consistent basis. You know, didn't even add. Royce and Jarrell. New Japan, in Japan. Jacob Austin Young, Nevada State champion. Now he wrestles in New Japan. I think I forgot a couple.
Yeah.
Man, I lacked in putting myself over or putting FSW over.
Yeah.
There's people that were, before they were stars, they were future stars.
Yep. Yeah, and those future stars are going to be colliding on February 13th, which is Friday the 13th, and a Valentine's Day massacre to be had at the FSW Arena at 7 p.m. And so far, Jordan Oasis is going to try to win the No Limits Championship from Son Liu. You'll see Jaden Cole and Bryce Saturn go at it, which is probably going to be one of the better matches that we've seen in a while, man. I think that both of those guys wanted this match, and they have a lot to prove to not only, you know, the wrestling world and the fans and everything, but I think between the two of them, it's going to be something else, man. I think that's a great match. And then, of course,
I'll tell you what, both guys were in the Gabe Sapolsky seminar last year, and after that, Bryce Saturn got invited and was an extra, I believe, not at Mania, I believe at Raw or SmackDown the day before he got that. But that was Jaden Cole's first match in front of people at that event. And I even messaged Gabe about him. I'm like, hey, this guy who wrestled his very first match at your seminar, you were surprised. Don't know if you remember him. But I just want to let you know he has exceeded expectations. And I guarantee you, Jaden Cole ain't going to think twice about being in the seminar tryout this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and again, we've already got almost a dozen people signed up. And this was, you know, with Gabe sharing it 2 days ago. You know, it will sell out. We just don't have the time to do 100 people. You know, it's going to be capped at about 60. Now, that's 60 wrestlers. So if you're a manager or you're a referee, there's never going to be 60 of those. So, you know, but if you're a wrestler, it's going to max out. So,
yeah, absolutely. So that's going on again. Valentine's Day Massacre is on the 13th. The Full Tilt, of course, is coming up Mania Week, April 15th through the 19th, including the ID Showcase on the 16th and Gabe's seminar on the 15th at 10 a.m. And, of course, No Escape, Total Meltdown from Silverton on March 8th at 5 p.m., which is a Sunday. You know, get your tickets now, and man,
and Ground Zero, March 29th at the HyperX. Yeah,
at the HyperX. So,
you want to talk about a loaded schedule?
Yeah, and I'm sure there's another future shock in there somewhere, right?
February 28th.
Yeah.
So, but you know, what this does by doing monthly at the HyperX, it ups the show.
Yeah.
So now we would have the 5 or 6 Silverton events every year. That was the super card.
Right.
Now we're going to have 12 super cards, maybe more because of Mania Week and all the other stuff. So now right. you're looking at 12 super cards. And then you got Future Shock. So if we're running that every month and Future Shock every month, now there's those people in between. Yeah. So, you know, again, sure, at the anniversary show, we're going to have a battle royal that the younger guys are going to be in. Sure, we're going to have a rumble match that you're going to be in. But how do you, you know, pop that yep. balloon and get yourself? Because, you know, there's people questioning after what's come out of Future Shock, there's been some storylines. Well, does that storyline continue? You know, there's talks of, you know, one of the main Future Shock feuds to maybe breaking off into a match at No Escape, which gives one of the younger guys who may not, you know, other than in a pre-show match, don't get to work a main casino show.
Yeah, storyline.
Regular match.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Dave Mazzani. You know, he was, you know, Dave has become now a regular. There's going to be something for Dave. Now, is it with the first responders in C4? Or yeah. is it, you know, different ideas? Silverton, Escape the Cage. What could be the third cage match? I don't know. What is Brittany doing? You know, she'll yeah. be there.
Yeah.
Or whoever the champion is. Still figuring that out. I don't know if Brittany's working in the, you know, we might be doing that. You know, it's funny, you know, certain things get cursed or whatever. You know, we've had one match for the intergender tournament that we were trying to put together, and that was Davion and Dana Lynn, who won a first round match.
Right.
But due to injury, Taylor York and Jacob East had right. to pull out. He separated his shoulder. He's now cleared. Layla Gray tore her ACL before yeah. their match. Before we found out Jacob East was hurt, they were supposed to wrestle them in the first round match. Then there was an issue with Zamaya and Koa, who were a team.
Right.
Which they were going to wrestle Remy Marcel and Maserati.
Right.
So we had about 5 of those matches go by the wayside. But now that we have more shows, you know, the idea is, you know, let's get it going again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much going on. And, man, you know, who would have thought that 2026 would just be like a rifle just shooting shots over and over and over? It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm bandying the idea, you know, the anniversary show, you know, 17th anniversary, barely legal.
Well, at least we know it's legal. So it's barely legal, but it's legal, right? It's.
You know, I don't know if
that underage thing right now, Joe, is not playing very well in many circles.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, again, I'm taking it off the ECW paper.
Right.
And you're taking it right to the gutter again.
That's what I'm here for, man. That's what I'm here for. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this week. And until next week, happy wrestling, everybody.